Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program I explore the shifting consciousness that seems to be happening around the planet, and there's no one better to talk about that than someone who studies the stars, studies the planets, and understands the relationship of the heavens to consciousness. And I'll be talking tonight to Diana Brownstone, and she is one of the most sought-after astrologers in New York City. She's a certified professional consulting astrologer through the National Council of Geocosmic Research, and she has been giving personal consultations since 1987. Welcome, Diana. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are going to be talking at the New Life Expo, particularly about 2012, and there's a lot of people have predicted a lot of strange things about this time. Is this really more of an intense time than usual, or are we always going through some kind of transition?
Well, we are always going through some kind of transition, but I do think that we are heading into a much more intense period, very much reminiscent of the Great Depression, actually. So I think it's a time there when there are things that are probably going to happen that people never thought would happen.
You mean you're saying not nice thing, negative sort of, not uplifting things is what you're implying?
I think it's both. I think at a time where people are going to be finding out more the truth of what's been happening in the world and the truth about things that they've never thought about or never thought were real or perhaps that were looked at by the media as crazy, I think that they're going to find out about these things. And for one, that's going to be uplifting and awakening and invigorating. But at the same time, I think as we've seen what's been happening in the financial world, there are aspects of what's going on that are not good for so many people.
You mean the whole 1% owning most of the wealth in the country?
How we got to that place, and I think the people finding out about how deep the deception really is, I think it's going to the Occupy types of protests are going to continue.
Mm-hmm. And is that something you can see in the stars that this can you tell us like the configurations that show up like that?
Well, for one, there's the 90-degree to square aspect between Uranus and Pluto, and that occurred back in the 60s. So that's repeating this time, and it's in cardinal signs, which is about taking initiative. And so you're having a repeat of protests and people wanting to have change and this sort of uprising and awakening, trying to buck the system, trying to take back power. So when those cycles repeat, you're going to see the same kinds of things. And when I spoke at the expo about a year ago and we just had, the protests over, the Arab Spring happening, I showed pictures and I said, this is what we're going to be seeing here. And then it came over here.
Right. So now how long does that square between Pluto and Uranus last? It doesn't last that long, though, right?
Actually, it does. It hasn't even what's called perfected yet. It the first one really becomes exact in June of this year, and there are seven exact Uranus-Pluto squares over the next 3 years.
And so, is there a certain, does that usually mean, like, when there are exact conjunctions or alignments that the events happen exactly then, or does it have a kind of more lasting effect
Both. I mean, you feel it as it's approaching, and certainly we felt it as these Occupy protests were cropping up around the country. I think it's spread out into other areas. We've got the women's rights, and we've got other, specific splinter areas that it's happening in. But I think it's going to overall continue as each one of these become exact, grow in strength and in force.
And so you said there's a lot coming to light that's been hidden Is that a Pluto-Uranus thing too, or what?
Absolutely. Yes, Pluto unearths things as much as it causes people to react to the things that are being unearthed. It causes things to, well, it doesn't cause, it correlates with things breaking down, and with Pluto in Capricorn, that has to do with governmental structures and the powers of government. And when you have Uranus making an aspect to it, Uranus is about freedom and absolute, you know, freedom to do whatever you want. So you've got these two completely different energies.
So if you could predict sort of like what you think this whole thing will look like as these, you know, aspects take place, what do you see happening?
Well, I see more civil unrest, just like the protests of the 60s over Vietnam. I see people not accepting more of the laws that go through, and as government continues to show more of the powers that were put in place during the Saturn-Pluto square, there's just going to be a continuation of people waking up as a lot more people are affected by it. I think until it really affects you, you're not really spurred on to action. I just think a lot more people are going to be affected by it, be aware of it.
So what do you see as a result? I mean, people will be protesting, but can you look ahead and see what the, you know, where it's all going to lead? What will the country collapse? Will the economy collapse? I mean, can you predict that? What's happening? What's the going to
be? Yeah, I think there is going to be further financial collapse. I think part of the whole, the truth and the spiritual aspect of people waking up to what's happening and how, you know, the media tends to make us think that things are improving or getting better and, you know, announcing unemployment rates going down and housing going up and, you know, things that sort of assuage the anxiety that people have about the economy. I think at a certain point, you just can't hide it anymore. And that's part of the whole truth and the spirituality that a lot of people are talking about, the awakening that's happening, you know, the whole Mayan calendar movement.
Well, is there something to what the Mayans predicted? I mean, at least what they say, people say they predicted that December 21st, 2012 will be, you know, it's the winter solstice where the galactic center supposedly moves into 0 degrees Capricorn. Is that true?
Well, it's true. You know, I think it's correlating with a lot of the cycles from all religions and spiritual beliefs. I mean, there is also the date of October 28th, 2011, where was another.
I never believed that was really. Yeah. I don't believe Kalman's like predictions, because nothing. I think there will be a major shift on some level that will be noticeable around December 21st. 2012, and I don't think there was anything, you know, that really seemed like it really took off on October 28th, 2011. I mean, did it seem like to you something happened?
Well, I mean, just seeing the protests, for one, I mean, that happened before that. I don't know for other people. I mean, I've been aware for quite a long time what's been going on, so I couldn't say specifically for other people, but I agree with you that as we come in towards the end of this year, it would be hard to not wake up.
Right. I mean, but is there something that the Mayans saw in their astrology, particularly about December 21st with the alignment to the galactic center, that we should know about?
I don't know what they saw. I know.
Well, they said there's a rebirth,
right?
An awakening, a spiritual awakening. This is what I think they said. When the winter solstice sun aligns with the Earth and the galactic center, it's coming out of the womb, the dark hole at the center of the galaxy will be rebirthing humanity into the next level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think they said, you know.
Yeah.
But you're seeing, I mean, of course, all the religions have predicted this time now as a time of transformation, and you're seeing it too. I mean, you're saying...
Yes, exactly. I'm seeing it through the tools that I use as well.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the ones that I'm much more familiar with and much more an expert with. These
well,
are the ones
can you
that
just
I
tell me,
use.
But what does a galactic center mean as far in an astrology reading?
Nothing. We don't use it.
You don't use the galactic center as a... Somebody
no.
must somewhere, right? I mean, no.
I've heard it more with the whole Mayan prediction.
Oh, but you said you do see. How do you see like the economic change happening within the planets and?
Well, I've worked with the chart of the dollar, the chart of gold. The first
oh, really?
Trade
how
of
do
gold.
You know how to chart the dollar? How do you know where the birth of that is?
Well, you look at the when it was first printed, and the first, first dollar was coined. So I go back to 1794.
Wow.
And I work with that chart and with gold.
So what do you see in those charts?
Well, I'm working with a chart of gold, and I see Pluto is sitting on the sun in a chart of gold. So I think it's a rebirth of the power of gold as currency, because gold is the original currency.
It is the only really valuable currency because, what we have is fabricated. You know, it's like someone prints it up with no foundation to it.
That's right. And is it backed? Do we have the gold to back it? Who knows if we really do? But at
I
this
doubt
point,
it. Really I mean,
good.
I really doubt there's enough gold to back the currency. But what makes gold so valuable? I mean, it must have an esoteric meaning to it, or...
Well, there's the whole thing of that it was used for time-space travel. That's what it was needed for, and you see that even in the movies. Did you see it, Cowboys and Aliens?
No, should I see that? Did
yes,
they use gold?
You should. It will give you some hints as
I
to the properties of gold.
Couldn't get past the title, you know.
You have to look for the deeper meaning.
Okay, I'll look at Cowboys and Indians.
And aliens.
Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens.
That is funny. So
yeah,
you see, though, a collapse of the dollar, a collapse of our economy?
I do. That's why I try to help people without evoking fear to see that that's what's ahead.
So, but what do you tell them to do? How can we, what should we prepare to do?
Well, I think you have to turn off your TV and listen to all the alternative methods of information.
Uh-huh, right.
And I think you should get a good amount of gold and silver or gold and silver stocks, mining companies. That's what I've been suggesting to people.
Uh-huh.
Even if you look at, the Dow over the last, 10 years, up until now, gold is up 530%, and gold and silver shares are up even more. So by comparison, the Dow is up 6%. So
how much is gold worth now, an ounce? Is it?
Gold has been hovering around $1,700.
Really? I remember when it was $500 or $400.
Exactly. That's the thing, and people thought it was so expensive back
an
then.
Ounce.
And
it's an ounce.
Seeing an ounce, a troy ounce.
So if you have a pound of gold, you have quite a nice, healthy thing going on. So you think it's still going to go up from here? Is that what
I
you're
do, absolutely, because the dollar is worth practically nothing at this point, and most people aren't really aware of that. If you do a little research, you'll see the value of the dollar, how much it's gone down, and as they continue to print more money, you know, there's going to be so much inflation that your dollar is just not going to have any purchasing power.
But they say the euro is collapsing. Have you did the chart of the euro? That's easy.
Yes, I look at that too.
Did you do a relationship chart between the dollar and the euro?
I didn't do a relationship. I've worked with them individually, but that would be interesting. I could do that right now.
That would be interesting to do right now. But what do you see about the euro? Because if the dollar's collapsing and the euro's collapsing, then it seems like all the world's economy is there must be.
There's going to be a whole snowball effect once Greece defaults. And I looked at the chart of Greece, too, and I think that's coming very soon. In fact, this month is kind of going to be a turning point.
But why is Greece so important? They're not like a huge country. Why is their economy so central to the collapse of everything else?
Well, because when the euro was invented, they put these countries on it that really had no business using the euro. They didn't have the sort of economic stability or financial product from their country to be able to be on the same currency as these other countries.
Well, I've been to European countries with the euro. It just seems like, you know, like in different states, you can buy more for your dollar. In different countries, the euro, you know, you can buy more for your euro. It didn't seem like, I don't know.
But if you have a country that is not producing as much, I mean, I'm not an economist, but it just affects the value of their usage of it then. And there's been all that, you know, those CDOs and the mortgages that were sold over to the European countries and the whole banking fiasco that happened. And I just don't think they found a way out of it.
So when do you see the Greek economy defaulting, the Greek, you know?
Well, I see a crucial time in about 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks from now?
Yeah, about the third week of this month, there's a Uranus transit to a key configuration in the Greek chart.
Oh, really? So, and so if they default, what does that mean then?
Well, it means either somebody doesn't get paid or somebody picks up the bill. So let's say Germany picks up the bill. It's going to...
The bill for what, though? What is it that they are... You mean that
they're basically going to be buying Greece, and that's if the people allow them to do that from both sides.
So Germany will buy Greece,
right?
Or something
so,
like that.
Yeah. So say Greece becomes a subsidiary of Germany.
But what does that mean? I mean, what are they defaulting on actually? Who's not being paid in Greece if they default?
It's us and the other countries who've loaned the money, their treasuries, their bonds that they can't pay.
So what if they can't
pay?
Don't pay people back. I mean, what is that?
Right, that's when you default. It's like if you go bankrupt if you can't pay off your debts.
So what if they can't pay off their debts and just dissolve their debts with the U.S. and say, thank you very much, see you around? You know, like
I go back to the drachma. So if they're allowed to do that, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of a big bullying country. We've got a big military. I don't think I don't think any country, anybody likes when they're not paid back on their debts. So I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I know that's going to be a crucial point.
But don't you think the world economy is really being manipulated by, you know, the Illuminati, or you saw the movie Thrive, right, what they allude to? I mean,
haven't seen it yet, but I've seen so much else that I probably know most of the information.
Yeah, you probably do. Just that, you know, there's the secret government or secret, you know, societies, basically, the families, the Rothschilds,
right,
the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, they control the world economy, and they really are the ones pulling the strings in this economic collapse. And it looks like countries are defaulting, but these families are really getting, I mean, they don't say this in Thrive, but this is what I put together, that they're really, and I don't even know if it's true, but if it is true, then these families are manipulating these world economies, causing this collapse so they can accumulate more of the wealth so they can rule the world. So does that make sense?
It does to me. It didn't to me initially when I started hearing about it, But the more research you do, the more it seems to make sense.
Right. So, but, you know, and this is one of the things I will ask the director of Thrive when I interview him, like, what's the point? They already own the world.
But you don't get it. You don't get the point that if you're a psychopath, you only live to have this power, and you have this. These are the toys you play with: power and money. So you just accumulate.
It's destroying
more
everybody's lives here. It's like. Is it? I mean, I know they're psychopaths, but can we rehabilitate them somehow?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean. So, okay, so anyway, you see some of that happening, but then what else are you seeing in the world charts, in the chart of the world? I mean, you're seeing a spiritual awakening as well, right?
Yes. I think at the times when things are the worst is when sort of the portal to your connection with the universal spirit is opened to the greatest extent. Mm. And...
well, how do you see that showing up in the stars and the planets, that that universal consciousness? Do you see that in a configuration?
Well, for one, Neptune has gone into Pisces, and that's about the spiritual side, the connection, the lack of boundaries between everything. The only thing with that is there's, you know, the illusion of Neptune as well. So you have both the ability to carry off greater illusion, but at the same time, those that are in tune will be getting more of the truth, the messages.
Mm. And you also get the kind of the illusion of spirituality that people like to have. Like, they like to hide behind spirituality and escape, you know, the fundamental realities of the world, you know.
Yes,
sometimes.
Exactly. That's the whole thing with religion is it's usually not based on real spirituality. So it is the illusion. I tend to like when Neptune is in retrograde more than when it's going direct, because that's when you see the truth.
Oh, talk about what retrogrades means. Because I think we're in a Mars retrograde now, aren't we?
Yes, we're in a Mars retrograde. So from our vantage point on Earth, it looks as if Mars is going backward, but in actuality, it's really closer to the Earth than when it's going direct. So it just brings up more of the issues surrounding the planet. So Mars is about anger and frustration, and I can't tell you how many fights I've seen just breaking out on the streets. It just seems like it's accentuated during a Mars retrograde.
How long will that last for?
The Mars retrograde, that is, it's until April 13th. And then if you believe in the shadow period, it leaves a shadow June 19th. So you really, really during this time, you really want to take stock of what's really frustrating you and be aware that you're not projecting it out into the world, that you're just really aware of your own issues, your own anger, your own aggressiveness, assertiveness.
So what else is coming up then? So what else is retrograde? What's our relationship to Venus now?
Well, we're going to have a Venus retrograde, too. We're going to have three all at one time. The Venus retrograde is May 16th to June 28th. So on a personal level, you may know this, Alan, with the Venus retrograde, old loves tend to come back into your life, old friends. It's when it's time to review and sort of reconnect, resolve old issues.
Is that unusual to have all these retrogrades happening in one year? Or is this like something different going on with it?
It's not so much. I mean, when you have three at one time, it's just a period where there's a lot of tension because you're confronted with these energies more so than just the everyday. You're forced to focus on them. Like with a Mercury retrograde, you're really forced to focus on your details and your paperwork and keeping things in order. And, you know, if you've been lackadaisical, then that's the time when it's a little harder if you're not highly aware of what you're doing all the time.
You know, the Mayans made a big deal about the Venus-Sun conjunction that's happening, I think, June 8th, where Venus passes right in front of the sun. I think you can actually see it through a telescope. Does that mean anything?
Well, sure. It's supposed to wake up the divine feminine, supposed to bridge the gap between the masculine and feminine polarity in our minds, and absolutely, let's hope it does. Let's hope that it stops the wars. It makes people more empathetic.
I mean, that would I think it's June 6th. Yeah, it's June 6th. That
yes,
Venus,
it is 6th. That's right.
Exactly, conjuncts the sun. So that would be a good day to a divine feminine celebration, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. To be at one of the meditation, there's all the points around the globe.
So then what do eclipses do? Because everyone used to fear eclipses, right? Isn't there like a superstition around eclipses?
Yes, if they're hitting an exact point in a chart of a country, that it really was they saw it as boding negative, you know, war or famine, or you know, that's what it was used for. But it really, around the point that it hits, it exaggerates that particular energy wherever it is.
So what's coming up this year?
Well, this year we have an eclipse on May 20th, which is leading right into the Venus transit.
Highlight that Venus transit?
I think it's leading enough into it that it will. But I think it's going to do again is you're going to see more the polarity, and that's what a lot of this year is about, because you're going to have extremes. We have this, you know, the Mars retrograde, and then we have the Uranus Pluto, and then we have the highly spiritual Neptune side. So you get these polarities of such enlightenment, along with this, you know, abrasive war and greed. So when you see the polarities more clearly, it's sort of like good and evil, you know, dark and light. That's what I think is what you're getting at with the Mayan calendar, about people waking up. And after all, we see it more with these polarities.
So that's sort of what the overall feeling of this year is about, this extremes, these opposite poles being activated, huh?
These opposite energies, yes, and I think there's going to be an acceleration. I think as we, for one, I don't think that we're going to see a whole lot here until after the election. I think we're going to see it more abroad. I think that, there, you know, like you said, the powers that be are able to manipulate and control, so I don't think that, I think they're going to, there's going to be less visible result here initially, and of course it's an election year.
Right. How does that look? How does the election look? Did you do the chart of that?
Yes, of course. Well, we've got a lovely Mercury retrograde on the election, like we did in the Al Gore Bush election.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's, and then what else do you see?
Well, I see shortly after the election, I think really the whole euro starting to die off. Maybe they'll have to do a devaluation of the dollar, because there's just been so much flooded into the system. So I see by the end of this year, or by spring of next year, I always advise people, you know, things are coming, you've got to get set up. So,
what do you mean? Do you think people should get food and shelter? And
I do.
I
think, what's the harm? I think you need to do your meditation and become very aware of what's going on, and just decide what's best for you. And I don't see any harm in having a backup plan.
And so should we buy a house in the country then?
Oh, sure. Wouldn't that be nice?
Are you planning your escape route from New York or something?
Well, I wouldn't call it an escape route. I just kind of see it as having an alternative, you know, way of life.
Right.
I mean, I'll always be a New Yorker, so.
Right. I don't know if I always will, but But geez, well, what is then happening though? What, so we're moving towards a sort of new society, is sort of what you're saying. It's like old structures breaking down and new ones are forming. And then what do you see as this period of time? How long will it take for like a new, if you could project 5 or 10 years or even 100 years
mm-hmm.
astrologically into the future? Do you see like a time of a restabilization and a new foundation and all that happening?
I do. I think that it's going to take time for things to get worse, and it's going to take time for them to get better. So I think the period where it may be at its worst, maybe from about 2016 to 2020.
Oh, really? And that's at its worst, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that we don't really see. We hear the figures of how bad unemployment is, and I think it's worse than what they say.
Much worse, because the unemployment figures only report people who are actually on unemployment.
Right, and that doesn't report the people who've given up finding work, because it's more expensive to go out and look for work than it is to just stay put and try to make do. So from that perspective, to the point where it's visible to everybody how bad it is, it takes that much time.
So do you see after 2020 a rebuilding period, a reestablishment?
Well, I see that as being the bottoming out. So you've got only one way to go but up from that point. So that's the optimistic point I'm going to give you tonight.
But did you give a chart of the country, of the U.S.?
I've looked at the Barbeau Index, and that takes into account the relationship between all the outer planets, which have to do with cycles of time and evolution mm-hmm. and the grander scheme of things. And in that chart is really where it starts to tank around 2016. So what that led me to see, where I already see things happening and everything being affected, is that in some capacity, it's not all over. It's in pockets, or it's progressing to that state. So if things are sort of level over the next few years, that's why I try to tell in my talks that now's the time where, you know, it's the calm before the storm.
Oh, really? Now's the time to save, stock up, store.
Yeah, now's the time to really become aware of how the whole idea of money has not been used for good, and to really get back to what is really important. And when you really think about that, community, love, spirituality, of course you have to have some form of exchange, but what did we used to use for exchange? You know, there was gold and silver, there was barter. I just think that because our values are going to be shifting, that the more aware you are of that, the easier the transition will be, the less you're going to miss your things and your electronic gadgets.
Right, but isn't there like a building of this electronic, you know, society? I mean, isn't there a way it could save us somehow? You know, or no, you're just
I really don't know if it can save us, because I think it's part of what's gotten us into trouble, you know.
I know, but I'm only saying save us because it's also bringing the world together. You know, it's creating a cohesive planetary mind in a way, and when we realize that we're just really one planet and one consciousness connected through all this internet digital parts, we can then have more empathy and solve the world's problems in a...
Absolutely. I'm with you on that, and I think the 99% are.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1% that don't want, you know, they had the PIPA and the SOPA, and they always come up with something, some way of preventing it from being used for good.
But I think that is what's changing. I mean, I don't know if you did talk about the change in frequency. I think that the old guard cannot keep, you know, the people down anymore. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time.
Exactly. And that's what's so great, is to see that people are really waking up.
And yes. So I think because there's a shift in the actual vibration of the earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely, I think that that's the wonderful part of it. But then the powers that be, it's not good for them. So, you know, there's going to be, you know, sort of like that old comic book battle between the dark and the light. And, you know, of course, the light's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course, eventually, but...
eventually, but then you have that period where the battle's going on, and that's the hard part.
And that's where we are now, you're saying?
We're entering that period.
I mean, I think the 20th century was a very bloody, warring, you know, barbaric century. Of course, there was also the heights, too, of the incredible technologies and advances, and... I was just hoping this century, not that centuries are sort of artificial anyway, but this century would be one of more, you know, coming together as a planet.
I think it will be. That's what the 99% is about.
But yes. You know, I talk to a lot of astrologers. What's that?
Then we have the psychopaths.
Right. But I think, you know... they only get to do things because they are concerned with power, but I think we're moving out of that cycle where power, that kind of oppressive power, is the focus and moving into a higher, let's say, chakra paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But I was also going to say I talked to a lot of different astrologers, and one guy said that Regulus. The fixed star Regulus in the constellation of Leo is, I think, moving into Virgo this year.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it does.
And it is. Do you track the fixed stars and see their movements?
I don't use them a lot, but I was aware of that, and I do think there is validity to it because that also has to do with crops. Virgo is about the harvest.
And so what does that mean? He said it meant about the heart of the lion. Regulus is the heart of the lion.
Right, and that's gone into Virgo. It's been in Leo, which is the heart, and Virgo is the sign of the harvest and work and good value.
But it's a sign of the feminine, too. It's a sign of the divine feminine as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was saying it's the reawakening, of course it's been happening, of the divine feminine with the heart.
Absolutely, and we see so many correlations with that with the other astrology. You see, there's always several different ways of seeing it, so that's the same with the Venus transit. So,
can you explain the different ways of seeing it?
Yeah, well, just whatever method you're using, whether you're going to look at the fixed stars or the planets, so if you're going to say Regulus went from Leo to Virgo and that's a divine feminine, you can say that there's the Venus transit in June, and that's about reawakening the feminine as well, getting more in touch with, you know, love and harmony.
Mm-hmm. So you could then read a whole kind of year chart based on those particular points is what you could, like, pick out different things that can contribute to a thesis that we can develop about that.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely. And then you look at all the, you know, the hard transits to the planets and to the other countries, and then you start to see a pattern of what's going on.
When you look at the hard transits, the whole economic thing really pops out at you, right?
Yes, it does to me, absolutely.
Or is that just what you're looking for?
No, I look at all the different charts. I look at them in terms of each country. I look at the currencies.
So,
and I just see it reflected in numerous ways. And what you were just saying about the creativity and the rise of that, I agree that as well with the technology.
But where do you see that in the charts and in the planets, the movements of the planets?
Well, I see that also in the Barbeau Index.
What is the Barbeau Index exactly?
The Barbeau Index is an index where you calculate the difference in relationship in the outer planets and their cycles, and you sum them all together, and you chart it on a graph, and you can see when the chart is going going up in times of economic boom and in collapse or times of war. When it goes down, that's when the artistic and the creative side, and that's what I think now we're coming into with this divine feminine, is brought to the fore.
So do people use that to invest in stock market stuff, that Bobo index?
Well, you wouldn't. It's more for a wider sweep of trends. You don't really use it for the market. For that, you can use the charts of individual stocks, the first trade. You can use horary for that.
Do you do a lot of that kind of astrology?
Yes, I do. I actually have clients that have their own brokerage firms that come to me.
Really? So you really?
That, yeah.
And you're pretty good, I guess. That's why I guess they come to you.
I think so.
Well, that's a great gift. So,
yeah. Not a lot of women doing that.
There isn't, huh? Well, no. You know, another aspect I was talking to, do you know who Gary Christensen is?
Gary Christian,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a brilliant astrologer.
He's a well-known astrologer. I mean, right? He's I was interviewing him a couple of years ago, and he said there was some kind of configuration that marked some... like an alien presence. I forgot which configuration, but the possibility of a alien contact. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that was like a grand sextile, which is two grand trines.
Yeah, something coming up in the next couple of years. I have to listen to that interview again. But
I would agree with that.
Would that be? Do you know when that? I forgot what he said that will be. But why do sextiles refer to extraterrestrials?
I think it's the complete balance of energy. It's like a star formation. So I think it has to do with just the openness and the flow of energy. Maybe it helps to open the portals and make them able to be seen. And
I mean, is there anything, I mean, and this is kind of a silly question, but is there anything unpredictable that you could predict, you know? I mean, is there anything like really, really going to, I mean, sort of like extraterrestrial presence or something that you can see coming, like something unknown coming to the planet that we not have thought of before, like anti-gravity machines, or, I mean, free energy's been around. But do you see something like that, some, like, shadow of some new kind of configuration surprising us in some ways with some unknown technologies or presence or consciousness, or do you know what I mean? Diana, did I lose you with that one? Hello? Diana? Hello? Okay, thank you. Diana?
I'm here.
Okay. Are we back on, Seth? I think we lost you for a second. Diana?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We're back? Okay, I guess we're back on. I guess that question may be too out there. Did you hear that question?
I heard it. I don't know that there's a particular configuration that relates to that, because we've never seen it before. So I don't know how we would recognize it, to be honest. The closest thing I can think of is the Neptune, which transcends what we think of as concrete reality, the Neptune in Pisces. Mm-hmm. I do personally believe that there's a presence and that it will make itself known.
But I guess everything that's happening within the charts, within the stars and planets, is sort of new in a way. I mean, there's cycles in history, but the combination that's in effect now is sort of something that hasn't existed before. Isn't that true?
Yes, I think it's never existed in this. It repeats, but it's never in exactly the same way.
Well, particularly because some of the outer planets, which weren't discovered until the last couple of hundred years, are now in, in houses, the signs that they haven't been in before consciously, that creates a whole new effect.
Yes.
So you go along with that, the fact that the planet has been identified changed our conscious relationship, particularly to the outer planets, huh?
Well, I think as each one is discovered, that through history, the element that planet represented became more apparent, like the discovery of Pluto, and then there was plutonium and nuclear energy. So
I see.
Yeah, it enters the consciousness with the almost. At the same time as the discovery of the planet.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, I think the big thing about 2012, though, is the fact that what the Mayans showed is that we're galactically centered. We're not solar centered. And I think that can really change the way we look at the stars. And, as the Hubble reaches further into space, we can see there's these galaxies that are affecting ours as well. So how does that change astrology?
Well, hopefully it will, and we'll be able to forecast even better than before as a result of that.
But how could a galactic-based, as opposed to a solar-based astrology, I mean, has anyone done a galactic-based astrology?
I don't think so. Gary Christian actually is developing the software where you can see actually where the planets are in relationship to the Earth from outside looking in. So you're seeing them from all different angles.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, bring up the theory of the Earth within the Earth, the whole world within. Are we really, solid through and through?
What do you mean, the hollow earth theory?
The hollow earth theory. What do you think of that?
I do think there's a civilization inside. I mean, I don't have any proof, but I do think there is a hollow earth. I mean, there's shows on this radio station that devote, their whole series to the hollow earth. I mean, I think there's a show particularly about the hollow earth every week on BBS radio. So I do think there is a civilization inside the earth. I do think if the planet has a molten core, if it's liquid and it's rotating, it's going to push the liquid out to the sides, creating a hollowing in the center. So I think most planets are hollow. I think the moon is hollow. I think, it's just a natural aspect of planetary physics. So I do, but what does that have to do with then, a new astrology, you think?
We have to do charts from the vantage point of the inside of the Earth as well as from the outside. It just changes, what's called the parallax from the point at which you're directing the energy.
But what if we did a chart from the center of the galaxy? Would that change the Earth and the Sun in relationship to the center of the galaxy, the galactic center?
That would be really thrilling to be able to see that. I mean, right now with software, what we see is an Earth-centered and a Sun-centered.
How would we have to reinterpret astrology in order to see it galactically centered?
I would say that we would no longer have to see our own selves and our own egos in that sense as the most important, because with a sun-centered or a solar-centered or an earth-centered, the self and the ego are more important when you get the grander picture, when you're looking at it from an outer perspective like that, galactic-centered, you see your role in it less from an egocentric point of view.
But do you think our collective charts are moving away from an egocentric point of view? Is this where, our future's pointing astrologically?
I think so.
I mean, how do you see that? In which aspects of our planetary configuration?
Well, I don't know that I actually see it astrologically as I you know, sense it when you say that. I really feel that we're going towards that.
Mm-hmm. So you add your own intuitive sense when you do reading, because I think in a way it's just as important as what the stars are saying, right?
Absolutely. You know, when I started out doing this, I didn't want to think that was coming into play so much, but it really does. There's no way that you can come to the conclusions without having a good sense.
Right. So you have an intuitive, almost, wouldn't say quite a channeling, but you tap into a higher awareness when you're reading for somebody.
Right. I think with anything, the more you do it, the less you're involved with the technique of it, and you just, things just come to you. So absolutely. So I'm just on an intuitive level, when you said that, I would agree, although I couldn't point to anything astrological that really says it, because we do Earth-centered astrology. So
right. But do you believe at some point we have to step off our chart and transcend that karmic destiny that's been laid over us?
Oh, sure. I would never want anyone to feel limited by their chart or by the astrology. It's just really a guide, so we can sort of get the weather, the forecast of the lay of the land, and then use our higher intuition as a guide.
I mean, are there such a thing as bad charts, or does everyone have an ability to make the most of it?
Well, those are two different things. I mean, everybody has their free will, and they should have the ability to tap into consciousness and awareness and strength to overcome what you might deem a bad chart, or maybe a chart with a lot of difficult aspects.
But that's what you would say. I mean, a difficult aspect. I bet you see some charts and you say, "Oh my God, how are you surviving?" or something. Do you do that?
sometimes you see difficult charts, and you know it can play out either way. You know, you really see how much free will does come into play, how the person, how they approach it, and the kind of work that they've done. What you can't tell from a chart is evolution, the person's evolution, whether or not they have risen to the challenge of the chart or not, or how far they've come in that path. Mm-hmm. Usually when people come to me, they're at a crisis point where they're having a hard transit by one of the outer planets. That's pretty typical, unless it's, you know, returning client and they just want the, you know, forecast of the year. But usually people are going through some kind of crisis, which is a hard aspect.
Mm-hmm. And how do you help them?
What you do is you, for one, you see how it's playing out in the chart and you validate it. I think that's one of the great gifts of astrology, is the person is validated for what they're going through, and they're able to step outside of whatever's going on and get some objectivity so that they can then go back into whatever is difficult and handle it. And second to that is you give them a time frame. You give them a time frame of when this period is going to lessen, when it's going to fade out, when the more easy transits are going to come along, to give them more opportunities to
I see. So that is very beneficial. To people.
Yeah, it can have a calming effect if you're going through something very difficult. And even if you're going through something that's wonderful, you can help ground the person if they're just kind of getting too caught up in something, so that they have a time frame.
I see. So you're really, in a way, facilitating people's transformation, huh?
Right.
But do you think we choose our charts in order to learn different lessons here on planet Earth?
I do. I do think we come in at a particular time when there are things that we need to just either finish or accomplish or learn, and I think our charts do reflect that. I believe in that, both through astrology and spiritually.
So where's the study for you? Where's the study of astrology going for you in your evolution as an astrologer?
Let's see. Every which way I can.
What's like kind of up for you? What kind of like particular interests are you like focusing on? The eclipses or asteroids? People do a whole thing with asteroids or, you know, fixed star. You know, there's many aspects. I'm just curious where your interests sort of lie.
Well, it's been a lot with the economic and financial, particularly in the last year and a half when I've been speaking about that at the expo, and I'm going to be speaking in a few weeks again about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just the outer cycles and just seeing where that's going to lead us. I mean, I like to be able to correlate what's coming ahead and be able to guide people with that.
So tell people what you're going to be speaking on at the expo. Diana's going to be speaking at the New Life Expo March 23rd, 24th, 25th at the New Yorker Hotel in New York City. I'll be speaking there as well. But what will you be speaking about particularly?
Believe it or not, it was something you hit the nail on the head. Expect the unexpected in 2012.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be going through some of what we talked about and giving some more specific predictions and timing of things. I'm going to be helping people prepare spiritually as well as timing-wise, giving them some ideas of how to prepare for the next few years. Go ahead.
No, just tell people how to find you and your website and, you know, where...
Okay, my website is my name, Diana Brownstone, just the way it sounds, dianabrownstone.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on my website or come to one of my talks at the expo.
Definitely come to one of the talks. I'll be there. Thanks, Diana. I guess we covered a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did.
Thanks for being available. It's fun because there's so much that... You know, the universe is sort of a language that we're trying to understand, and I think that's why astrology is so valuable as a guide.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate it, and we'll do it again at some point soon, okay?
I'd love to.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. This is Alan Steinfeld. I was talking to Diana Brownstone, astrologer, who will be at the expo coming up with me. And my name is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening tonight. In the Fire by Green Fire. Yesterday,